Though Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll said this week that he is very proud of his team's performance this year, one wonders why. The Seahawks finished the regular season with 7 wins against 9 losses, but because each division winner gets into the playoffs and because the division in which the Seahawks play is filled with bad teams and teams that are worse, Seattle gets to play this afternoon. In preparation for the occasion, numbers cruncher extraordinaire Nate Silver, whose 538 blog appears in the New York Times political section, developed a list of the 10 professional sports teams he considers the worst ever to advance to a postseason. According to Nate Silver's calculations, the Seahawks can claim the distinction of worst NFL team to make the playoffs. When we spoke earlier this week, I asked him for the most compelling bits of evidence to support that contention.
Well, you know, first of all, they did have a losing record at 7-9. Not the only NFL team to do that, but the only other exceptions were in the strike-shortened year of 1982, where the NFL decided we're going to let everyone in the playoffs, pretty much. But for a 7-9 team, they're awfully bad. I mean, the other three teams in their division were also among the worst teams in football. They were beaten by almost a touchdown a game on average. They had the second worst yardage differential in the NFL. They're kind of, you know, they're balanced in the sense that they're bad in almost every conceivable way, right? Their offense ranked 28th out of 32. Their defense was 27th. This is a team that probably has about 4 and 12 talent that was fortunate or well coached to go 7-9 against kind of weak competition, and you know, and they're 10.5-point underdogs at home, you know, in the NFL playoffs, and that's very unusual.
I think actually my favorite statistic is that in their last 7 games during the regular season, the Seahawks won twice and lost 5 times. It almost seems as if they were trying to avoid the playoffs.
Maybe they can pull off one spectacular upset of the Saints. I mean, stranger things have happened. But, you know, they're not going to reach the Super Bowl, and they're going to draft like 18th or something instead of 9th or 10th, you know. So that makes a big difference, and it didn't really do them any favors necessarily if you're just going to go one and done in the playoffs.
Seattle fans can perhaps take some solace in the fact that this year's Seahawks are not, at least according to you, the worst playoff team ever. Which team captured that distinction?
Well, I think there's one pretty clear front runner if you look at the 4 major sports, which are the 1952-53 Baltimore Bullets of the NBA, who went 16-54. They won about 1/4 of their games, and they made the playoffs because the Philadelphia Warriors went 12-57. They beat the Warriors like 6 times and went 10-50 against the rest of the league. So they were really bad, but you know, the NBA had a very generous playoff structure back then, where all but one team was guaranteed a playoff berth from each division. It's unusual for Seattle to be this bad and make the playoffs. You know, it's usually hard to have the lack of talent, frankly, they have and sneak in. But, you know, I mean, in the NBA and the NHL, it was almost like a separate second season where everyone kind of got in, like a postseason conference tournament in, you know, in a college basketball league where everyone gets a second chance. It was almost kind of the philosophy back then.
As a result of all this rigorous research into losing teams, did you end up with a favorite among 10 lousy postseason teams?
Well, I think the 1949-1950 Sheboygan Redskins of the NBA are kind of a sentimental favorite. The NBA was a very young league back then, and despite that, they basically expanded from, I think, 12 teams to 18, like, overnight. And so the Redskins only had 3 players who had any professional experience at all. You know, nevertheless, they got in the playoffs with a 22-40 record. They beat out, like, you know, them and, like, the Anderson, Indiana Packers and the Waterloo, Iowa Hawks. I mean, these were really obscure teams that didn't survive into later iterations of the NBA. But, you know, a team from Sheboygan, Wisconsin with a bunch of kids, basically, if they got a little bit lucky, maybe they kind of deserve it. It's kind of a, you know, Hoosiers, the movie story a little bit.
Nate, this list is a bit of an archaeological dig into the way pro sports leagues have changed their playoff formats, isn't it?
You do get to go through different kind of obscure eras in sports history when you kind of put together a list like this. The NHL, for example, had just the original 6 teams for a period of about 30 years. And then when they expanded, they put all 6 expansion teams, did it all at once, no phasing in like in other sports, and put them in their own leagues. An expansion team was guaranteed to be in the Stanley Cup, and 4 of them were guaranteed to make the playoffs out of 6, even though basically the NHL charged you $50,000, which is equivalent to about $200,000 now, anytime you dared to draft a player from one of their rosters. So these were basically minor league teams, and they were guaranteed a matchup against one of the, you know, original six teams, which had their rosters intact pretty much. So just kind of all the quirks of how different sports set up their playoff structures over time is quite fascinating.
Nate, you analyze politics and all kinds of current events and issues on your 538 blog. Did you have more fun compiling this list of really bad playoff teams than you did predicting political races 2 years ago?
You know, it is sometimes more fun to tackle sports topics. I mean, I got my start doing analysis in sports, of baseball in particular. But, you know, one refreshing thing about covering sports is people have fun with it for the most part. You know, I got a few kind of nasty tweets from Seattleites when the column went up, but it's nothing like what you get if you're critical of, you know, Obama or John Boehner, or say so-and-so can't win, or it's nothing like in politics where people get really, really kind of hot under the collar about this stuff. I mean, sports fans are very passionate, but you kind of wake up the next day and you're like, okay, we're not going to look at your worth as a human being any lower because you're a New York Rangers fan instead of a Philadelphia Flyers fan or something. Or maybe they do, I don't know.
Your list of 10 worst playoff teams appeared on Monday. You've mentioned that you got some angry tweets from fans of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm wondering if you heard from anybody who said, hey, come on, my team's really lousy. How come you left it off the list?
I didn't hear too much of that. I think a couple people mentioned that the 1981 Kansas City Royals were the only baseball team ever to make the playoffs with a losing record, and there were some people saying, you know, maybe they should have made the list. I think Kansas City doesn't get a lot of recognition for very much of anything, you know, so anything would kind of would help them out a little bit potentially. But for the most part, I don't think people want to have this dubious distinction exactly, you know. I mean, especially in there are some sports like baseball in particular where making the postseason you achieve a goal and it's something meaningful, and you kind of, you know, hang a banner from the rafters and so forth. The NFL is a little bit of an outlier where you've had, you know, some 8-8 teams make the playoffs, some pretty bad ones. But the fact that this is kind of the exception to the rule in the NFL, and likewise in baseball, you've had a couple mediocre teams make the playoffs, but really is not all that common an occurrence. Whereas in the NBA and the NHL, you can really be a pretty mediocre team and still make the postseason. Baseball might add another wild card, which is kind of interesting. You know, I think they happened to do well by adding the wild card several years ago, but maybe the balance is pretty good right now. But still, you know, you're not going to have, as you had in the NBA, a 16-54 team make the playoffs, the equivalent thereof in Major League Baseball anytime soon.
Nate Silver is a political polling analyst and a managing partner for Baseball Prospectus. His 538 blog appears in the New York Times political section. To link to his list of the 10 worst playoff teams of all time, visit our website, onlyagame.org. But if you've got a problem with the finalists, take it up with him. Nate, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. Picture a tennis match taking place in the middle of Doha Bay and Qatar. Not on an island in the middle of Doha Bay, in the middle of the bay. Now let's up the ante by making it a tennis match between Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. In the picture, which you don't have to imagine because you can find it online, two of the game's greatest players face each other across a banner rather than a net on a surface where the ball would splash rather than bounce. Of the promotion, Roger Federer said, it was good fun. It was so different. Rafael Nadal said, it was a very nice experience. So they both know how to play the game.